Välkommen till Hästveterinärerna, en podcast från Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health. I den här podden samtalar vi med specialister från olika områden inom hästmedicinen. Med det gemensamt att de delar vår och din passion för hästarna. Du lyssnar på Hästveterinärerna, podden för dig som är veterinär eller djursjukskötare och arbetar med häst. I det andra avsnittet med Nina Lundgren pratar vi om äldre hästar och deras tänder och vad man kan behöva tänka på med dessa patienter. Welcome back to the podcast, Nina.
Thank you.
This episode, I want to talk to you a little bit about old horses and their teeth, because they can have rather difficult and specific issues. And so to start, what dental issues would you say are more common in older horses? Or how does your typical old patient look like in the mouth?
The typical old patient have started to lose the enamel ridges in some teeth. Often it starts off with the O9s, that means the fourth of the six teeth in every row, and often it's the upper nines that start to erode and lose its enamel ridges. And what happens then when you have the complete enamel left in the occlusal surface of one tooth but not in the other is exactly like when you have a ball of snow and a ball of ice and you grind them together. The ball of snow will disappear and the ball of ice will remain intact. And when that happens because of the attrition in the mouth, the horse starts to have problem chewing because they can't do the regular movement of the lower jaw. And then the tooth get another angle in the power of the stroke. And suddenly they start to loosen their periodontal ligaments and you have the tooth loosening process. And you can say that, oh, but this is completely natural. Yeah, it's a way of nature to like finish off the old teeth and get rid of them. But not really, because when this happened out in the wild horse, they will really die quite soon. So if we want to keep our horses healthy and without pain as long as possible, so we need to go there and be ice ball back on the teeth that still have enamel left. Of course, we do that extremely careful and really don't take too much enamel away, especially not on the occlusal surfaces of the teeth that still function and have the opponent intact, because what we have here is really the rest of the horse's life. If you take it away, you take away the horse's life. Mm. It's exactly the same in the younger horse. When you take away enamel, you take away a part of the animal's life, but if you do it wisely, you can really make the horse a more healthy horse during the live years, so to speak. Mm. So that's really, really important to help out balance the imbalances, and also the diameter of each individual tooth will decrease slightly, and that means that if the teeth isn't really aimed to, or they're like, they should lean towards their neighbor, like a fan. So they really lean inwards the middle of the row or the teeth. And if that's very individual, some have a good angulation, and some horses have the teeth quite parallel to each other. And when that happens, when the horse with the parallel teeth is growing older, the loss of diameter of each individual tooth will create interdigital small gaps where feed will get stuck.
Mm.
Also, the feed impactions will be a problem, especially for those horses.
Mm.
You'll find that one day or one year when you see this horse, the feed impaction will be between maybe the 6s and 7s, and next year it's between the 8s and 9s, and that's because of the teeth are constantly moving slightly, of course. But it can be, the horse owners can be like, but you said that it was different place last year. Can I trust you? Then you bring out your intraoral camera and just show the pictures for now and the pictures from last year, and they see it for themselves. It's a fabulous tool that intraoral camera. So if you work a lot with horses' mouths, I really advise you to buy one. There are the several quite cheap ones that work perfectly on the market right now. So that's a good tip.
Mm. Good to be able to follow up also from if you have patients from years back.
Yeah.
Then you can show the development maybe for the owners as well.
Sure.
Very pedagogic.
And it's good advertisement for yourself as well, because if you give them intraoral pictures, they will get on Instagram and Facebook.
Mm. And tag you.
Yes.
So the older horses, as we know, some of them develop PPID, and there are some discussions or whether the dental issues are a clinical sign of PPID, and obviously we do see PPID horses with dental issues. Is there any specific dental issues that PPID horses display that you see?
What I see is mostly a generalized mobile teeth problem, that almost all teeth is slightly mobile. Mm. So mobility grade 1, as we say. So you can barely move the teeth that you wouldn't be able to do on all teeth on a healthy horse. And that's due to the periodontal ligaments loosening up slightly. So, but it doesn't seem like a horse is in pain because of that. But again, it's hard to say if it's painful or not when it's something that's going on for a long time. And when you're not able to like take one tooth and pull it and get a pain reaction, then you don't know, but you can still have generalized pain. But we don't know that really. It's hard to tell. And the horses are fabulous in masking that kind of symptoms. They're super good in adapting to pain and to be happy in an unhappy body, so to speak. So I don't think it's really any other signs that I see a lot just on the PPID horses. Otherwise, it's just a general old horse issues will follow with the horse's dental age.
I guess also regarding this as a symptom, if it's also showing lots of other symptoms, and it's maybe difficult to tell also what behavioral sign is coming from which symptom, and there's a lot of things going on in the PPID horse, not only dental. So
no, it's really hard to find out what's what.
But does it happen that you open the mouth and you find this mobility, this increased mobility, and you then ask the owner, like, do you have you seen any other symptoms? So is this issue alone enough for you to suspect PPID, or is it something that you see when they have developed the disease and also other clinical signs?
Now, this is really, when I learned about this, the correlation from Torbjörn Lundström, then I started to look for it. And when I found the first patient that had this generalized hypermobility of the teeth, then I said to Donnie, you have to take this PPID test because I think we have something here. But it was negative.
Mm.
But the next year, we had a perfect positive sign. So I found this in three different patients by now. So it's a very small amount of horses. It's not enough for publishing any results. But still, they all three had this hypermobility in the teeth. And half a year to a year later, they all had positive PPID test results.
So in these cases, would you dare to say that it's the first clinical sign in these horses then?
I can't be sure about that, but it definitely makes me tell the owner that this might be the first sign. I'm not hesitating in that, but to say that in a publication, no, not really. Mm. But it might be the first sign.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So if you have a horse that you know, that it has PPID or is perhaps even treated for it, is there something that you need to do or to be extra careful about or before doing any other more invasive dental procedures with this horse?
With a regular dentistry, I don't think I do anything different. But when it comes to the more expensive and more painful and invasive procedures, then I think it's a little bit of double-headed, because maybe the horse won't be alive for long. It might be a lot of issues here. So maybe it's better to take away the horse than put on another issue with that might be if I do a extraction and we have a sinus involvement or something, you might have not that good healing process can be impaired. It's maybe it takes half a year before we have that sorted out, and what is it really worth it, or should the owner maybe start out with another horse instead?
Mm.
Sorry about being honest there, but sometimes when you have a PPID horse that don't really answer well with the treatment protocol, and then when you find the dental issue as well, everyone that ever had dental issues knows that really will impair your way of like well-being all over, and they have issues enough.
Mm.
If it's perfectly fine during the treatment or with the pergolid medication, and of course we will go on with the procedure, but in that case I will be sure that they will come back slightly earlier, maybe in 3 weeks instead of 5 weeks for recheck, or in 1 month instead of 2 or 3 months, depending on what I'm doing, just to check out that we don't have another issue.
Mm. So it really depends on how the horse is doing in general, and if it's doing well on its meds and so on.
And how the owner thinks about them. Sometimes the owner just waits for next thing to happen to have like a course of taking away the horse without feeling guilty about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as I said earlier, there can be a lot of things going on those horses, and maybe, as you say, the icing on the cream then comes with a dental issue, then maybe it's time.
Yep.
What about other issues? What are other common issues that you see with older horses?
Interesting disease that's been observed. I think it feels like it's more and more cases. Not just that we haven't seen it before because we haven't looked, but really that it's an arising problem. And I don't
I don't know really why. We don't know enough yet. And it's the equine odontoclastic tooth resorption and hypercementosis, the EOTRH issue. I don't know which one of them that's easier to say in English, if it's a full name or just spelling the letters. But what happens is that the cells, different cells in the apical area of the teeth are just becoming totally crazy. So the odontoclasts, they are starting to eat up the bone, and the cementoblasts are suddenly over-creating a lot of cement. And that creates a big cementoma. It looks like Hiroshima bombs under when you look at the X-rays in the extreme cases. But they will undermine the whole jaw and the dental tissues, so that you it's like a worm nest.
Mm.
So it's really prone to infections, and of course it's painful. And because the whole mass in the jaw will be reorganized, it's not always easy to take out the teeth either, because you have these small Hiroshima bombs or different shapes under the gum line and inside the bone, and the bone isn't healthy, so it's just a mess. And when you find this, these patients, if you're lucky, you find it early, and then it's much easier to take away the teeth. And I've changed my point of view a lot during the last years. In the beginning, I said, oh, well, we wait until the teeth get a bit loose and then we take them one by one. And now I say, well, now we have small difference in a lot of incisors and canines, we take them all at once, because it is a massive thing to do, of course. But horses, they are shifting so much in the behavioral pattern, and after the operation, they could go out of the theater and start to eat grass immediately. It's amazing, and I've seen it a lot of times now, and followed other patients that I sent to different clinics for doing this, and it's amazing. They really shift the life quality change after taking away all the teeth is hugely to the better. So
yeah,
I think it's a more painful problem than we think. So when you have these small dots in the gingival margin or up in the stoma, and the change of the contour around the incisors, then take this X-ray, just put the plate in the mouth and shoot different angles and look at the teeth.
Mm.
It's quite easy to diagnose if you have the slightest idea of how the incisor should look like or the canine, because the difference is quite big, and you can't like have it on medications like antibiotics for like month. It won't help the problem. It will like help out slightly with the infections, but you won't treat the horse. Just take away some of the symptoms, and it's not good for the horse, and it's not good for the nature, and not wise for the wallet either. So it's, if you have this, have a serious discussion with the owner and think of taking away the teeth before it goes too far.
Because this is something that you can see as a horse owner. I mean, most of the teeth are rather hidden from the owner, but this is something that you could actually see if you just lift the lip, or at least in the late stages, I guess. But is this something that owner calls you about, or is it something that you discover on the routine checkup?
Both. both. There's also a shift, a big shift in how the interest, the owner's interest in the mouth. It's changed a lot the last 10 years and it's more common to really lift the lips, look at the gums, look at the teeth, listen to the sound when they're chewing. You won't see a big difference in the eating pattern until late stages of EOTRH. But if you just lift the lips, you can see this a little bit of awkward tartar on especially the third teeth, the third incisor. And you can't, if you take like a teaspoon or something and or the owner do that and try to carve it away, it's completely impossible. The normal tartar, you can just scrape it away with your nail or with the teaspoon or any other, half sharp object. When you have the EOTRH, it's not tartar, it's cementum. You can't just carve it away. It's impossible. And that's also a sign. So, but also the dots and the unhealthy gum line, especially slightly above the gum line, not just the exact gum line. So, and there's some, difference in the surface of the alveolar bone wall, especially in the upper cheek. That's something to look for, be observant at. And especially Icelandics, cold-blooded horses, ponies, I see them much more on those breeds.
Okay. Is there any reason why, or do we know why?
Don't know why yet.
Maybe science will tell us in the future.
Yeah, we hope so. There's plenty of projects going on. Super interesting disease.
So how do you go on then managing these horses? I mean, will this, if you remove the teeth, obviously most of the pain will go away. But will the actual condition go away as well and the horse will be completely healthy again, or do you have to maintain it for in some way? Or
no, as soon as you get away all the dental material, the odontoclasts and the cementoblasts that create this problem. So when you get away out of take that substances away, then you will be just fine. Of course, there is also some rejection of compressed or diseased bone, alveolar bone. So it's, I often say that you have to count for half a year to a year after the surgery to, until you can see that the horse is perfectly, like, you don't need to come back.
Okay.
And what you need to consider also is that the horse won't be able to eat very, very short grass, like in the paddock or so. So they need slightly longer grass, but they will be perfectly fine out in the summer pasture if it's just like longer grass. And they will have issues also with the tongue hanging out because you don't have any structural
There's nothing stopping it.
No, exactly. So if you do this in the spring, you often have issues with sunburn on the tongue.
Oh.
So you have to address that too. But it's not all horses that will have their tongue hanging outside. I have this little mini Shetland that's so super cool horse and he just keeps it on the inside. So it's not all horses, but it's very common. And I think it's amazing how they manage without the teeth. They even manage to bite quite hard without teeth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they will get this gum palate regrowth. So it's perfectly functional anyways. It's quite cool. But you will have an issue when you're doing the dentistry. So you have to really pad up your mouth gag.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Afterwards. So if you have a huge problem with hooks or a wave mouth or something, then you might consider to take away the horse instead of take away the teeth instead. If you need to do really often short interval routine dental work.
Yeah.
But I think it's a disease worth knowing about and check out.
Definitely. And also maybe educate the horse owners about, since it's something that they can actually also detect and look for.
Yeah. And it's a good educational opportunity, because if you show the end stage pictures, then everyone will be super interested in learning the early stages, because it's really nasty. Worth mentioning, I think, regarding older horses, is that you should be very careful with manual rasps. I advise to not get manual rasps in the older horse mouth at all, because they are quite harsh, and you have to take away too much material in the way that the rasp works in a moving. The way the rasp works is by going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, of course. And that will create too much reduction of animal that you want to have left in the mouth. So by using small, neat power instruments instead, and just pinpoint exactly that little point, don't want to take away that little point, we'll have to take away. I don't want to touch that one because that might help the horse, and I want to take that little thing and that little thing. And you can't do that with a manual rasp. So choose the right equipment when you go into the old horse's mouth. Also bring a long forceps with a 90-degree angle to take care of the feeding patches. And headstrom files is also good, along with a long pair of pliers to get rid of feeding patches. Just be light on your hand so you don't destroy tissue. Just get the feeding patches out of there.
So a bit more precision and bit more fine tuning.
Yeah, and also when you go with the rasps back and forth with it, with these teeth, they are it's a wrong force directions. You don't need to apply force at any direction except for the chewing action. So just be careful, because the rasp is. I don't say that rasp should be forbidden or something. It's just that in the older horse's mouth, there are better instruments to use. It's perfection work. And also with the elder patient, take care of give them some painkiller or some NSAIDs before, because it's often problems in both TMJ and often also in the temporohyoid apparatus and the musculature as well around the mouth and head. Beware also of the position of your headstand, because you can have bone spurs at the occipital bone. When you have the horse's head in a position where the front of the head is more of an elongation of the neck, is like a line, instead of the normal, like 90-degree angle of the neck. Do you understand what I mean? If you have the nose too high, if I say so, that little bone spur can press down into the vertebral canal and make your horse faint in front of you.
Oh,
yeah. I had that problem several years ago, and I called a colleague of mine that's a nerve expert, and he was just laughing out loud and said, oh, it's not the problem. This was really before the sedation, actually, because he was entering a box. He was a stallion, old one, 32 years, I think. And he found quite quickly that the horse beside him in the box nearby was a mare. So he wanted to go up there. So he put his chin on the wall of the box, quite high up. And then he tried to lean over with his head. And that meant that his head was in line with his neck. And he suddenly fainted. And he dropped dead. And then was there for like 2 seconds and then up, shook his body and like looked around. Who kicked me? What happened? So I called my colleague, Johan, and he just left, as I said. So it's no problem. And he explained the problem.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That stuff like that can happen.
So don't raise the nose too high in your headstand. You have to get lower.
Good tip. Thank you so much for this talk about older horses that we had. In the next episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about equipment and bitting, something that I know that you are working a lot with.
Yeah.
Thank you for now.
Thank you.
Tack för att du lyssnar på Hästveterinärerna. Om du gillar det du hör, glöm inte att trycka prenumerera i din podcast-app så att du inte missar några avsnitt. Berätta också gärna om vad du tycker genom att ge en recension. Vi tar gärna emot tips på kommande gäster och ämnen. Och våra kontaktuppgifter finns i poddens beskrivning.